The issue of race has been igniting controversy across the country, from the Black Lives Matter protests to the fight over the Confederate flag in South Carolina. Well, in Memphis, a group called Responding to Racism is hosting a prayer service today to discuss how people in the community can take action. Sharon Pavelda is one of the founding members, along with her husband, Reverend Randall Mullins. She joins us now. And Sharon, one thing that you're doing is going around Memphis and surrounding Shelby County to mark where lynchings have happened.
That's correct. This is this prayer service that we're having is the beginning of our coming alongside of the Equal Justice Initiative. And this is an initiative to find and mark all the places of lynchings in the United States. Unfortunately, in Tennessee, right here in our own county, there are 21 of them that happened between 1882 and 1930. So at this first prayer meeting, we're going to be reading the names of the 21 known victims of lynching. As Ida B. Wells said, the way to right wrongs is to turn the light of truth upon them. Hmm. We're hoping for more truth, a deeper honesty, but grounded in this newer sense of humility that we don't have the answers, but we are part of the ongoing legacy of racial terror in our country.
Well, here you are trying to, as you say, shine light on the truth and point out things that are not currently pointed out to the general public. Of course, there are a lot of people in this country right now who want to take away markers to people in the past who they find abhorrent. And in fact, right there in Memphis, you have pointed out that there is a site of the former home of Nathan Bedford Forrest, who made money on a slave trading business, and you don't like the fact that that marker is there for him.
Well, actually, we acknowledge the fact that in that time, which was during the 30s and 40s, when there was this lost cause movement of putting up all kinds of memorials to the Confederacy, this was the way it was then. So rather than perhaps tearing it down, what we're saying is, let's write another one that says, it just states that Forrest was a partner in Forrest and Maples, slave dealers whose offices were nearby, and that by the time he was in the Confederacy, he was one of the richest men in the South, and that on a certain date, he led Confederate cavalry troops that captured nearby Fort Pillow and massacred over 300 African-American Union soldiers. And we feel like the education of what actually happened and how it is still happening with a different face and a different name is how our hearts will be open to do this differently.
So the way to deal with some of these monuments to people who were slave owners or were against desegregation or things like that would be just to add more to the description at the monuments that celebrate them.
Well, that's one way. The truth is, we white people especially don't know what to do next. That's why we have prayer meetings. That's why interfaith, we are gathering together and saying, we need a new humility and we need courage as we look at this painful truth of the violence and terror of slavery that is still with us today. Now we see them in the shootings. You know, in the past, there were these lynchings where people brought picnics. There were 5,000 people watching this. And we were horrified and we say, that could never happen here. We wouldn't do that. And yet we click on the videos of the killings of young black men. We watch them. We watch it happen, and it goes viral. How is that different?
Have you faced any resistance from the community, from people who say you don't understand or there's nothing you can do to fix these issues?
Of course. And, you know, not so long ago, maybe we were ourselves part of some of those groups. So we have real compassion for that fear. There is so much fear here that it blocks out our powers of action and rational relating to each other. Some of the fear is that, you know, don't do this. You're just going to rile up a lot of antagonism, or don't drag up the past. And it reminds me so much, I have to tell you, of a story I learned in Sunday school from the Hebrew Bible about Moses in the desert. And there were all these snakes, these poisonous snakes that had come and people were dying. And they said, please, please help us. Ask your Lord to help us. And so Moses said, well, what shall we do? And the Lord told him to make a serpent and to put it on a pole. And that whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. Now, that story intrigued me as a child, but I can't help but keep thinking about right now that somehow looking at that thing that poisons us, looking at the reality that we've been living with, trying to push down because, oh, it'll only bring up pain of the past. Well, you know what? We're living in so much pain today. And perhaps what we need to look at through art, this was a bronze serpent after all, but through art, through new ways of being together, maybe if we are willing to look at this, we will be shining that light of truth upon us as Ida B. Wells had hoped we would.
That's Sharon Pavelda joining us from Memphis, where she and her husband and a number of others have formed a grassroots group called Responding to Racism. Sharon, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for being interested in Memphis.